Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:30. That is December 13th. And today was another interesting day because the Dow Jones is flirting with the big psychological 20,000 level. And obviously that is going to make major headlines if indeed it can surmount that big number. But of course, when we look at the chart over the last few weeks, that we've had a very impressive 6-week rally where the market has rallied from 18,000 to 20,000 in very short order. And this is also reflective of the post-election bounce that has been priced into markets. Now, it is perhaps worth considering what exactly it is that the market is expecting. Part of the reason that stocks have gone up so very quickly is because there is a perception, at least, that there is going to be a bout of deregulation, that we are going to have a fiscal bump, that there's going to be much more fiscal spending, that there may even be a simplification of the tax system in the US, and that corporate taxation might be on the cusp of declining from 35 to 15%. And of course, if that were, and I think that is perhaps the most important of all, because it would have a material effect on company earnings straight away. So that is now being priced into markets. So then what are we seeing here? This has been an explosive rally because the very possibility of a rationalization of the corporate tax rate could really be very beneficial to stocks of all hues. But of course, the new president will not be inaugurated until January 20th. And of course, we can also anticipate that that the people that are going to be voting in the Electoral College, their phones must be ringing off the hook in an attempt to try and get them to change their minds where that is possible. Then there is, of course, the issue of whether he can get everything that he wants through Congress, even with a majority in both houses with for the Republicans, because, and I think there is certainly an attempt by the incoming administration to pad it out with incumbents from the party in order to increase the potential for some of the agenda to in fact make its way into the real world rather than simply rhetoric. But of course, this is all being priced in very quickly. And any disappointment, because there is so much good news being priced in so very quickly, any whiff of bad news would then result in a pullback. In the meantime, what we are presented with is a short-term overbought condition. But perhaps the more important point is that the market had been ranging for nearly 2 years prior to that, and therefore this is. We can characterize any range as an explosion waiting to happen. A market is either trending or ranging. If they are trending, then the likelihood is that the trend will eventually give way to at least a range within the context of a consistent trend, and a range will give way to a breakout. And this range has been resolved on the upside, and we're getting an emphatic breakout, and there is no evidence that it has ended just yet. In fact, we would give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in the absence of a clear downward dynamic. But while the Dow Jones is certainly doing very well, we should also keep an eye on the Nasdaq 100 because it has lagged. It has predictably lagged because there were so many of those shares were so overextended previously that they were very susceptible to a mean reversion. They have had that mean reversion, and the vast majority have found support in the region of their respective trend means and are now bouncing. So the Nasdaq 100 is breaking out today to a new high and is looking increasingly likely that it is going to get right up and test and perhaps surmount the psychological 5,000 level overall. Then what is happening in Europe has also had a beneficial effect on stocks there. There are two quite separate issues that are worth considering in Europe. One is that the Europeans are now crystallizing the fact that there is one set of rules for large countries and one set of rules for small countries. Italy is a large country. It is unlikely that it is going to receive any kind of sanction from the European Commission for bailing out the Banco de Monte Paschi di Siena. And that is really not great for governance. We can conclude that the standards of governance in Europe are deteriorating, that they are willing to do whatever is required, that no principle is beyond question when it comes to the existence and the continued existence of the euro. They are willing to make any statement in public for political reasons, but the reality of policy is that anything is permissible in order to sustain the existence of the Eurozone. So that has now been crystallized because there was, of course, the question whether they would have the gumption to impose on Italy what was imposed on Cyprus. And of course, we now have the answer. And because we have that answer, UniCredito has announced that it wants to clean up its balance sheet and it wants to raise 13 billion euros, which is as almost its entire market cap. So we are talking about a massive recapitalization, and they are selling off really they're selling off Pioneer, which is the investment arm, which would could be considered the family silver, but also that they're dispensing with a large book of non-performing loans. And that is really quite positive from the perspective of the stock market overall. Now, of course, the ramifications of declining governance are a medium-term headwind. This is something that is going to rattle through the capitals of some of the smaller countries in the Eurozone, and then we are going to be set up for bigger problems further on. But what we have now seen is that there has been at least a successful short-term kicking of the can down the road again. That has at least taken the stock market, that has at least given it some bullish characteristics, and we can see that the Euro stocks has broken up out of a year-long range now. It is trading back above the 200-day moving average, and the euro has at least steadied. So it is still, and this was not an upward dynamic in here today, considering the incredible volatility both on the upside and the downside that we saw yesterday, or sorry, last week. Then yesterday's upward dynamic was pretty modest by comparison. It suggests that there is at least some buying around the 105, that the situation in Europe is not getting increasingly dire imminently, and therefore there is the potential that the euro will steady somewhat above the 105 for the next few weeks. But then it is hard to imagine that there is any particular reason why it should be trading higher than 108. And because we have declining governance, then the potential for a move below 105 later, it has to remain, I think, the base case overall. And that, of course, would also benefit the stock market. So those are the two, I think, primary reasons why people are interested in Europe right now. From the perspective of just about everywhere else, that means that we are back in an area where we get a potential hedged exposure to Europe is probably the most benign scenario overall. The FTSE 100 is continuing to bounce from the region of the 200-day moving average and is closing in on that psychological 7,000 level, and it has been ranging mostly below 7,000 for the last 16, almost 17 years. So then a sustained move above it would be a notable event overall. The Japanese market gives us an additional example of an index that can rally really quite abruptly when the currency is getting weaker. And I suspect that this is just a forerunner for what we can expect from Europe overall, that the decline in the yen is being matched almost one for one by the advance in the Nikkei overall, and that this is very much a rerun of what we've seen in Japan previously, where you get hedged exposure to the index overall. Now, with increasing tensions in US-Chinese relations, there are questions about just what that relationship is likely to be over the next few years. The fact that Trump would appear to be cozying up to Russia and taking an outright ambivalent attitude towards China would appear to be an attempt to drive a wedge between two allies, considering that Russia and China often perform joint military drills, that he might be trying to drive a wedge between the two of them. But the Shanghai A-shares index was a little bit overbought in the short term. It was susceptible to a pullback. It has now had that pullback. This pullback is relatively similar to that which we saw in sort of August, September. And if it is going to find support, then it is pretty much back in the region of where that would be expected to occur if this is going to remain a consistent trend overall. With so much going on in the South China Sea, it is particularly interesting that India hasn't been mentioned at all in the context of Trump's activities, to the extent that he is aware of the country and what goes on there at all. And the index is sort of back here now in the region of the 8,000 level. It is still below the 200-day moving average. It really does need to sustain a move back above it. The Bombay Banks Index has had a shallower reaction overall. It has tended to lead. So if that continues to hold the region of the 200-day moving average, then we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the wider Nifty. And what happens with the rupee is, I think, something that a lot of people are going to be very keenly aware of, that it has strengthened up after an accelerated decline, but now this is the question: whether how much of that advance is it going to hold when there is a clear indication that the dollar can continue to advance, when there is such bullishness overall about just what the ramifications of the new presidency are likely to be for U.S. growth overall. The Asian dollar index moved to a new low 4 weeks ago. It has paused. It is somewhat oversold relative to the trend mean. So there is potential for some for a reversionary rally overall, but really a sustained move above 106 is the minimum required to really question that there is a medium-term downward bias overall. And when we look at this over the last decade, then there's nothing magical about the current level that it's in, that it did find support above the 100 area back in 2008-2009, and similar clear upward dynamics would be required to really signal that this isn't a relatively consistent downtrend overall. And of course, the renminbi represents an increasingly large portion of that index overall, and the dollar has been trending higher against it for nearly three full years now. So this is certainly not a new phenomenon, that the dollar is a bit overbought in the short term, but significant trend deterioration would really be required to question that it isn't going to continue to advance relative to the renminbi. When we look at the precious metal markets, then they are in need of a bullish catalyst overall. Gold prices continue to deteriorate, but are certainly not falling at the same pace that they were 6 weeks ago. But nonetheless, there is a really quite consistent progression of lower rally highs, and until that is broken, then we will have no evidence that demand has come back into dominance beyond just scope for very short-term steadying overall. We still have positive real interest rates, and gold generally does best in negative real interest rates when inflation is rallying faster than interest rates are rising. And while that could potentially be the case next year, and that would appear to be what is being priced into bond markets, we do not yet have evidence that that is indeed the case. And I think until we get that kind of evidence, we're not going to have a very impressive rally in gold. US Treasury yields are hovering here just below 2.5%. We have had a very substantial move already. There is reason to believe that the lows in the yield are in, that this has been an incredibly volatile 4 years, where the rally from trough to peak has been in the order of 100%, from 1.5% to 3%. We're currently at 2.5%. The progression of lower rally highs since 2014 has been broken. Certainly, yields are overextended relative to the trend mean right now. There is potential that we get a bounce in terms of the price, but a sustained move below 2% would now be required to even begin to question that this isn't a very major move overall, that we are now an additional 3 years on from the taper tantrum, and that quite different on this occasion is that the discount rate is rising. And that is quite different to what we had back in 2013, when the discount rate was still declining. LIBOR is right now at 95 basis points. The Fed is likely to raise rates tomorrow and potentially signal that they plan to raise rates again at least twice next year. If that is indeed the case, then we will see LIBOR probably back around 1.5% before very long. And it has been a substantial amount of time since LIBOR rates were at those levels. I saw a comment from the Treasury today that the biggest risk in the bond markets is in corporate debt. And of course, corporate debt is not a risk right now. Corporate debt would only be a risk when a lot of that debt that has been taken out at incredibly low rates needs to be refinanced. If a lot of that debt has been used to buy back shares and we come to refinancing, then will the question be whether they will finance repurchases or paying down the debt by issuing equity? And the weighted average cost of capital will, of course, be a substantial determinant of that decision in boardrooms overall. But if that were indeed the case, it would represent a wall of supply. And that hasn't been the case for really the last few years, that a lot of the new issues that have come to market have been balanced out by the fact that so many companies have been buying back large quantities of their own equity. When that equity starts to come back onto the market, then we will have the characteristics for a top overall. So what happens in the corporate bond markets, and not so much this year or even next year, but from 2018 onwards, when a lot of the 10-year debt that was taken out in 2008 onwards starts to mature, then those are good the kinds of questions that we'll have to ask. So it is certainly something to keep an eye on overall. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.